to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Sorry, maybe we're just starting. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we are planning a trip. And so, like, being even more careful, which is ridiculous than because I've been so damn, you know, around, like, potting and isolation and stuff like that. Because we're about to do the sort of merging of bubbles thing.
So, but if you both get tested.
Right.
Couldn't you just.
Yeah, but in between getting tested and going away together, there is the potential of. Yeah. So just out of an overabundance of caution, because, you know, why have something go dumb in the pursuit of joy? And just to kind of, and it doesn't mean like I'm here and I'm going to go later on at another point and have some backyard drinks with friends. I'm going to continue. All I'm saying is I'm going to continue to do the smart things up and leading to the moment of converging bodies, shall we say. And we're literally going away on a trip so that we can be like, okay, we're going to a thing, to a place, you know, an Airbnb.
And somehow that's more.
Well, Airbnbs are like incredibly clean. Like they have, most of them have like a massive super cleaning schedule.
But how does that doesn't change?
It doesn't change anything.
It doesn't change anything.
Except that like our households, you know, are isolating from the, also it's just more fun.
Well, that's the real thing.
Yeah, that part doesn't have anything to do with the COVID isolation. That has to do with. We want to go away, be together, have nothing to interrupt us, to be ourselves.
Right.
In a space together.
So the awayness does not do anything COVID-wise.
No.
It's just nice.
It's just nice.
But I like that you guys are like, therefore, we won't touch our bodies together until we're in another location.
Yeah. Or until we have at least, like, gone through the sort of...
Can you throw that ball? Because she's dying with you not throwing it. There we go.
It's like an airlock. Like, you go through the airlock, you know? You don't just come straight into the spaceship because you would die of pressurization. That's my metaphor.
It's more ceremonial.
One could say that. You may be right.
Because technically, it's nothing. It doesn't keep you safer to have sex in another location.
Oh, no, that part, no.
Okay,
that is not.
Okay.
No, it's more about the, like... The act of framing around the time.
You're not bringing someone into your pod.
Right.
That's what you're doing?
Exactly. I'm not just going to be like, all right, now we've decided that we're podded because there's other people involved.
Except that if you're tested and she's tested and you guys bone down, then she is in your pod.
Remember, testing does, all testing does, let's be clear.
Yeah.
All testing does is tell you whether you currently are carrying it.
Uh-huh.
You don't get the results for 48 hours.
Correct.
Theoretically, in those 48 hours, something could occur.
Right.
And then even after that,
uh-huh.
You still have to stay isolated because you could get infected in the ensuing time before connecting with that person.
I read energy and I forget that most people don't.
Right.
And so you have to understand, like, to me, you get tested and you read the energy, you're double protected. So that's where my questioning comes from.
Yeah.
But I understand.
So I think I do another version of double protection. It's like testing is one piece of it and just kind of consciousness. And it is almost like energy reading.
Being
like,
really careful.
Yeah, just being really conscious with the sort of more about the population. I'm not keeping necessarily myself in mind. I'm not even keeping her in mind. I'm kind of keeping the general public in mind in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the different ways in which there are inroads and angles.
Wow. Sounds exhausting.
Well, so is energy reading, so.
Except it's not. It's really not. It's pretty easy.
Right. So I would argue that's actually not that exhausting.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're you and I'm me.
Yeah.
So it's exhausting for me to do you.
Yeah.
And you to do me. Tired. I see the joke you want to make. Throw the goddamn ball because the dog.
No, but she's so focused. It's got her so wonderfully
all
chill.
All right, I have to ask you a question.
Wait, do people know that we're in Desmond's backyard? There are three dogs.
It's outside.
We are distanced.
You're going to hear like traffic in the background.
Yeah.
There's bugs here that I'm like, maybe they'll eat me, maybe they won't. I'll survive it.
It is gorgeous. There are bees, wonderful, but like chill bees that are like hanging out at the flowers.
What are those called? The big
bumblebees?
Those are bumblebees. Okay.
That's me squeezing the dog's ball.
Okay.
There we go.
Not his testicle, a ball that he plays with.
Yes.
Desmond's manning shit around, lifting heavy objects, being a bro, just broing out left and right, doing squats. He's just doing squats. Squeeze, don't threaten.
Everyone loses a little bit.
You just threaten. Do you see how she threatens? She's like, damn you, but she doesn't chase it. She's just, I'm going to threaten from over here, be loud on this couch.
How's your trip been? Talk to me
about
your feelings and how things are happening for you as you float into this space that you left.
It's wild. It's wild. I love, love, love being here. I've realized if I came back, I would have to live in Walnut Creek or Danville. I fell in love with Walnut Creek and Danville. Love it. Cassie's making a judgy face.
No, the judgy face was about the dog bonking his head.
That was pretty
like
funny.
Like a klutz.
He just slammed his face into this umbrella stand like a dumbass. Yeah, fell in love with those areas. Want to be there. Don't miss the traffic and the overstimulation. But I'll tell you what I miss is like just the colors. It's green here. And the green is so appealing. And I know it's going to turn brown.
It's 20 minutes worth of green.
Know.
So you came at the right
How
time.
How long is it actually?
It's not long. We go brown very quickly because the native grasses got replaced about 100 years ago.
Oh, thank you for the technical. No, I did not know that.
Yeah.
I don't remember when I lived here noticing it being short, the green.
But do you also remember all the brown hills?
Yes.
Which are kind of beautiful in and of themselves.
Yes.
But that's...
That's the majority of the time.
Yeah, it is the majority of the time when we forget that.
Right. Oh, my God. We have a small dog being play chased by two enormous wolf hounds. And so there might be a death today. Shit. One of us may
Squeezle.
Die.
Come on.
Who's going to die? Is it you, Squeezle?
Oh, Squeezle. You're happy, though.
No, she's really digging it. So, but the diversity... The stores, the Pete's Coffee.
Oh, right. I forget that, like, there's so much beautiful womb where you are and, like, the hills and the snow and the gorgeous. But literally, I can
there's
imagine
no
just, like, the stores. It's like,
there's
well, we can
no
go to Dan's for beans and rice, and that's
stores.
It.
There's no stores. So I have to go to Durango for stores. But Durango is, like, was that you? Somebody and I discovered 18,000 people. That's the big city near me.
Yeah.
My town, 1,400 people.
Wow. Yeah. So Durango is smaller than the small town I grew up in.
Durango is smaller than the entire college town I went to college in. Durango is smaller than Davis, California. Davis is 40,000, or it was when I went there, because there's a university there. And I thought, well, what a tiny town this is. Durango is 18,000, and Durango's my big city nearby. Okay. So I'm back here going like, this feels good and familiar. I'm just not a fan of when it's too many people, I get really like, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
Even just walking down Lakeshore yesterday, I was kind of like, I'm on Lakeshore. I'm done. Like, I'm done. Like, that's just growing up though. But now I'm sort of like, well, what you could have done, Katie, is move to like the deep East Bay. You didn't have to move to another state. But sometimes you got to move to another state.
I think there was more than just population at stake.
No, you're right.
When you were drawn to move.
That's right. And I'm not decided or done or anything, but it's been really nice to be back. It does feel like home, I'll say that.
Yeah, and just knowing that maybe you have now two homes.
Right. I could come whenever I want. My car works.
Yeah.
Planes are flying.
Too bad trains aren't nearby.
God, if we had a train.
You have to, well, there's trains here, but... You have to go all the way up and over the hill towards Denver to like...
That's a six-hour drive.
Yeah, it's a six-hour drive to the train station, which sucks. Because you'd think like, oh, I'm going to Colorado. Of course there's trains
I
everywhere because there's miners.
Yep. Alas. Now, that's another interesting point because I'm about to drive to Denver next. So I do this big opening event for the Healing Center on April 4th. Come to the Divine Light Healing Center, April 4th. 140 Mesa Street in Mancos, Colorado. That's Easter.
May have already happened by the time you hear this episode.
Maybe.
But.
Maybe indeed. Anyway, after that, like the next day, I drive 6 hours to Denver, stay there for a night and a half, fly to New York City, stay there for 8 nights at your partner's apartment.
Which is so cool.
Is
this? Oh my God, they sent me a little video. That's a whole other conversation, but I'm almost in tears of how beautiful it is and cool and perfect for them it is. It's mostly about how I know how perfectly themed it. They finally have a space that is there, like that they have every piece of carefully chosen.
That's so perfect.
Yeah.
Then I go to Massachusetts. I take a train because they have them there from the city after 8 days there to Logan Airport. Then I get my rental car and drive across that state to the northwest corner of Massachusetts. All of this time, by the way, sans my dog. No dog. Staying with my dear friend Gina in Mancos, Colorado with her dogs and kids, and should be fun times.
Wait, but if you're going back... Oh, wait. When you drive home from here, are you going to Mancos first and then to Denver? Or are you going straight to
Denver? I'm going to Mancos first for the opening event.
Oh, right. You just said that. I was listening.
And I have like 4 days there, and then I drive away.
Okay.
Yeah. But the whole long point I'm trying to make is that part of this whole trip is about Desmond in my face. Desmond in my face. Desmond runs this place. Sometimes he's in your face.
Are you missing some sounds?
That's what she said. I don't know. Because she had beer? I don't know what happened.
Had beer before we started. Stand by. Experiencing technical difficulty.
Okay. So I realized a few months ago, I'm in like an exploration phase of life again, where I'm going, I'm not sure where I need to be physically. So like...
Even though you literally just opened an entire building of a life. That's cool.
I know. People always say that. It's so funny. My attitude about stuff like that is like, I'm renting a space.
All right. And then I'll close it down if I need to.
I don't know. It's not the end of the world. You know, the Divine Light Healing Center will always exist online and as my business. So the building, it's either going to be relevant or it's not. And I'll have to find out by living into it.
What, can we say that the Divine Light Healing Center was in you all along?
Oh, boy. You could say it.
I said it.
So this travel is about me being like, okay, do I want to live outside of a big city, urban metropolitan area, but close to one? Do I want to stay super rural where I am? I don't know. I'm enjoying kind of being like, well, I don't know. I love the Bay Area. I miss it. It feels like home. But I'm not coming back yet. I know that much. So it's exploration time.
I love the idea that you could just become a person who has places that you can be all over the world. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, that feels right to like this next phase for you. Like, I'm just like, of course Mancos is part of that. And of course the Bay Area is part of that. And it may be that you don't actually have an apartment here or something, but you know, like, you probably have a place you can always stay.
Right.
Literally like part-time life here. And then you have your place that is yours in Mancos. And then you also have a pied-à-terre in upstate Massachusetts.
Oh, I love this idea. I love this idea. I support you and your vision, Cassidy, for my life. Now, I have a question.
Yeah.
Have I talked on the podcast before about, this is so out there, but have I talked about what the Divine Light Healing Center did in relationship to New York City, the energy thing? All right, this is some shit right here. I should also tell you, and just because it just happened, I just led a healing class for 2 hours that was, I think, the most profound experience I've had in other dimensions in my life. And I've been doing, you know, I say that a lot because it happens all the time.
Right. So you keep up ledgering.
I keep up ledgering. Good work. I do. I keep up ledgering and starting a whole new modality of healing. It's okay, Chip. Come here. You're going to be part of this episode. You're very brown. Go get it. Oh, Squeeze is almost participating. She's like, arr, arr, arr. I'm threatening, even though I'm tiny. So, it was amazing, and I'm still kind of in a trancy, other-dimensional space. Okay, the Divine Light Healing Center, I'm going to tell you what I think is the reason I'm doing all this traveling and what I think is actually happening on the spiritual realm, because it's a pretty crazy story and fits, like, the milieu of our podcast.
Nice word.
You know what? Thank you. You know what's funny? Right now, I feel extra... I often, with you, Cassidy, feel like I have to... talk fast and move around a lot to keep you attention,
You feel more of that? It's funny. I grant that. I hear, like, I'm hearing you better than I ever hear you.
I believe you.
The dogs are just a joyful, like, eye thing
I
for
know.
Me.
But, I understand.
But you are right to, sometimes I do get, and think when I'm on the digital world, I get distracted and that takes me away.
Yeah.
In this case, I'll just say.
You're here.
I'm so...
If you guys could... What I'm referring to is Cassidy's eyes are anywhere but with me because there are dogs And because we're outside, so now I'm like, okay, I'm real interesting. Look over here. I'm talking fast. Gotta tell you the
deep
story.
I'm like a T-Rex. My eyes follow movement. That's
oh, boy.
It. So, yeah, if you can just keep turning your head back and forth while you talk.
I can't. I'll just close my eyes because it's antithetical to my own energy to be like, it makes me feel tense. So I'm not going to try to keep your attention. I'm going to trust that the attention of the listeners is happening. And that's what we're really doing. And I hope I keep
Now I'm
going to
creep
attention.
You out by just staring at you like a...
No, doesn't creep me out. So one day I opened the Akashic Records of the Healing Center. And this is how I sort of realized 900 things. One of which is the reason that building was calling to me. I don't know if you remember, but when I moved there, I could not stop looking at that freaking building and the for rent sign, and I just had to rent it, which I never wanted a space. I had to rent that fucking
place. I do all my work on the phone. Come on, what am I doing with this space?
Exactly. Anyway, getting into the space, I realized, oh, this space is a portal of light. It is sitting on a freaking very high vibe portal of light. It's the downstairs to a building that has two floors. The upstairs, a couple lives there. I have now said to my landlord, if they ever want to leave, please will you tell me first because I want to own the whole thing. I want to buy the whole thing.
And then you could live in that apartment.
Correct. And or have it as a rental when I'm out of town, right? Downstairs is always the healing center. Do events there, don't do events there, whatever. But it would be my building, which because the freaking building is on this high vibe portal, it should be mine. Right. It should be mine.
Do you have a relationship with them at all?
They're nice people. We've met a few times.
Do they vibe with the high vibe?
We haven't really gotten
crystal
in.
Stuff?
No, it's...
I'm sorry.
There's no crystals.
I know,
in
you're so not a crystal
there's
person.
There's not even any crystals. Actually, I love crystals. They're magical, but there's no crystals in there. I haven't really gone there with them. They're nice. And they're like, oh, energy work. Cool. Have a good day.
Oh, okay.
But we haven't like gotten into
They didn't
it.
Go.
What?
Hmm?
No, they're like... the liberal end of the Colorado spectrum. So they're cool. Okay. So one day I open the records of the space. I figure out, oh, fuck, that's why. It's got this energy, this place. Then I'm sitting there for a while and I'm like, so what am I doing in Mancus? You know, one of my million, why am I here? And what is this about? And this whole thing happened. And I'm going to describe it for you now. Here's what I saw in my third eye inside the records. In the same way that when I opened your records and I go, oh, this is happening, and they're saying this, and it feels like this. That happened for the space, okay? And what happened was, the dogs are running, and it's very adorable. The space has an energy that's like a tree. And it showed me, its energy goes up like a portal, like a tunnel or a tube. And then at the top, there are these like leaves and branches spread out. And underground, the roots of the tree of this portal, they spread out in front of my eyes to all of Mancus, feeding Mancus with light. And then, this was a complete surprise, a single, wide, thick, weird, jack-in-the-beanstalk-like root.
Girthy.
Girthy! Like last week's microphone. Slams its way down into the ground across the country and shoots out of the cement in Harlem.
That's just where you saw.
Okay. This happened a couple months ago, this whole thing that I watched happen. Mind you, where this was I'm in the records of the healing center, and the healing center is showing me this is what we're doing. You are a steward of and a facilitator of the following energy, Katie. You have to be here for this to occur. So for months since that root thing shot itself into freaking Harlem, I've been asking almost every day, now what? What was that for? Why did that happen? What do I do now? No answers. No insight. Nothing. Nothing, nothing. Silence, nothing. Until, dun, 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 I meet Newman Manfredson, who introduces me to his buddy, who shall remain nameless because I don't like him.
I think we discussed him.
I think we did.
Or was it a personal discussion we had? I can't remember sometimes.
Either way, that guy.
This was a personal discussion we
okay.
had.
Okay. So there was a dude who is friends. Newman Manfredson knows I don't like him.
Okay,
that,
great.
Thank you. That's clear. Everybody's aware. Dude, whose name will not be stated, does not know probably how much I dislike him. Although the following story may indicate as such, but already did in the moment.
Right.
I'll explain. The dogs are losing it. He introduces me to this dude who, my experience of this guy, we'll call him,
Andron.
Andron.
I just made that name up.
All right, we'll call him Andron. It kind of works for a number of reasons, which I won't state. Andron, I go to a party at Andron's house with Newman Manfredson. Andron brings me into the kitchen, and Andron, side note, is a very powerful energy healer and is a male person. Okay, what do you got? You look like you got material.
I was going to say, does Andron listen to your podcast or do you not care?
I'm certain Andron does not listen to this podcast.
Great. And he probably, well, if he hears himself described,
yep,
he's going to have to deal with that.
That's on his head. I'm at this party. Andron has gotten wind of me through the grapevine. And I have heard through two separate people that is not Newman Manfredson, two other people, that he, in response to other friends telling him, oh, this woman Katie's in town, she's an energy healer like you, his response has been, oh, sure. Uh-huh. Oh, from California? Like, eye roll, bullshit, crystal woo-woo bullshit. And he's already decided I'm full of shit before we've met. So already I'm a little like, thanks, bro. That's helpful way to be friendly, meet someone new. I'm in his kitchen. He's besties with my new dating partner.
Dating partner.
Andron calls me into his kitchen at this party with my new man friend next to me. And starts to basically test me. He's like, so, what does energy healing mean to you? Like, real standoffish and judgy. And I go, why do you ask? And he's like, I mean, did you get any training? Do you have any? He's like fully grilling me.
Right, give me your CV.
Yeah. And I say to him, like, you know, I don't actually owe you this test. Why are you testing me? Because I'm put off and my defenses are up. And I go, why are you testing me? We're having a nice time. I'm at your house. You don't have to test me. And he's like, well, good question. I see myself as a steward of this land, and I protect this land. And I'm thinking, who gave you that fucking appointment, bro? But okay. And you're very important. I understand, in your own little mind. So it's important to me that anybody doing energy work here, that I find out if they're clean and correct and doing it correctly. And I go, okay, that's okay. Sure. So because he's Newman Manfredson's friend, I'm like, all right, go ahead. What are your questions? And he pretentiously mid-sentence does, you would have loved this. Like, you're me. And you go, all right, sure, I'll buy in. What do you want to know? Go ahead.
All right, sure, I'll buy in. What do you want to know? Okay, so he goes into a trance-like space.
He closes his eyes.
Hands out. Mudra, all the
mudra
things.
Fingers in his own kitchen, closes his eyes and stops talking. And I look at Newman Manfredson like, seriously? Then what happens is he does some legitimate stuff. I watched him energetically. He sort of like dropped down to the center of the earth, and then he sort of raised his energy big like this. And then he started to emanate like really, actually very beautiful divine light at me. And so my eyes started to actually close, because that's what happens sometimes when people transmit Shakti or high vibe energy at you. So I'm like going into a trance, and I go, okay, why are you doing that? And he says, what am I doing? And I go, you want me to tell you exactly what you're doing? He goes, yeah. I go, well, you just dropped your energy down to the center of the earth, and then you spread it left and right, and then you went up infinitely above us, and now you're emanating that at me, right? And he goes, actually, yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. And I go, cool. Do I pass your fucking test now? I know what you're doing. I'm not new to this. And he's like, all right. He's starting to be like, she could perceive stuff. She, like, I'm passing his fucking test or whatever. Which, can we just for a second, how douchey is it?
And that feels almost like, weirdly, like we did not have consent here.
It feels 100% like we did not have consent here.
Like, to just say, like, here I go. I'm going to do this intimate work on your
field,
which is your body, which is yourself.
Yeah, without asking. And I'm going to do it also to test you if you're good enough and worthy of my high-minded approval of you, which that's how rapey shit happens.
Right.
Yeah. That it's like some dude being like, are you sexy enough for me? Let's see. I'll just invade your space. Do you say yes or no? Because I'm important.
I'm testing you. I'm using my pickup fucking
I'm Harvey
techniques.
Fucking Weinstein being like, will you let me put my dick on you so right. that you could have this job?
Whew.
And I'm like, you're a fucking creep is what you are. Is right. That's how I'm feeling in the moment.
And
so then
what's crazy is how that's combined with like truly high vibe, like magical
now,
shit.
Now, that is the thing I really want to be talking about here, which is that that's where you have to be fucking careful. And I'm sure people know this. This is why energy healers give people a bad fucking, they give us a bad name. Because oftentimes people who have energetic healing abilities have a lot of trauma, as we've discussed many times on this show, but haven't dealt with their own boundaries or their own trauma. So they're behaving behaviorally fucked, but they're able to transmit light at you. But if you're a young girl in his class who doesn't know about boundaries because she too is traumatized, and the big, shiny, fancy spiritual man at the front of the room is emanating light at you and saying all this creepy, invasive shit, you don't know any better. You think you're wrong because he's saying this is what... He's emanating light at you and saying creepy shit, so you think he must be okay.
Yeah, that's the guru shit that goes bad so often.
I mean, that's Wild Wild Country. That's every that's what's his fucking face, Yogi Bhajan.
Yeah.
Who just turned out to have raped all kinds of fucking babies and children and people. I'm talking out of my ass. I don't know the whole story there. Do you know that whole thing?
I get them honestly kind of converged. They're all one story.
Yogi Bhajan was a big deal recently. I think we might have talked about this because he's the Kundalini. I'm sorry. He's the Kundalini guy.
Yeah, that's right. We talked about this.
And long story long, there was nothing sketchy about him forever and ever. So many people follow him and do his work, and his work is very helpful and amazing.
Right. The actual, the energy he's transmitting is magic, but everything else is fucking.
But he himself was pulling all kinds of crazy, creepy, not okay stuff. So anyway, the point being, are you guys all right? Are you guys all right? It's not a standoff. This is your friend. She's like, I don't know. That dog's huge.
Diesel.
That dog's head is the size of my body.
That's kind of
my entire self. Hey, Diesel, why don't you sit down for a little while?
Okay, so this whole thing happened with this clown. I, like, quote-unquote, win him over. At the end of the conversation, he's inviting me to go to his special cabin in the woods that only... Yeah.
Cabin in the woods.
Yeah.
I think they made a movie about
with
that.
With his wife and Newman Manfredson, to be fair. But still,
hey, that sounds like a party.
I'm like, there is no way in hell I'm going anywhere with you ever again. In fact, I don't ever want to see that guy again. Meanwhile... young, sprightly, never had a problem in his life, Newman Manfredson, is still really good friends with him. And I told him right after that, nope, not okay because of this, this, and that for me. You do you. You be friends with whoever you're friends with, but I'm not hanging with that guy, period. So there's not going to be like backyard hangouts. I'm not doing it. I don't do narcissists. I don't do any of that.
Right.
How the hell did we get on this fucking topic? We were talking about me being here.
Oh, the Harlem thing.
Okay, thank you. You did it. No, but this is all connected. So the end of the story is one of the things, once he trusted me in his effing kitchen, somehow we got to talking. He's like, so what are you up to with the healing center? And I said, well, I'll tell you one thing that happened. Maybe you can help me. This like route extended, and I told him the whole thing about the route and going across the country. And he goes, actually, I'm pretty sure I know what that's about. He said his wife or his partner does a lot of work energetically with New York, because New York, apparently, certain parts of it it is a portal, but it's a portal that goes out. In other words, if you think about across the world, everybody believes everything that comes out of New York City. New York City's like the coolest place ever.
Right.
It's the center of the world. All the media that comes out of there, all the everything that comes out of there is just correct because it came from New York. Like if you're a liberal and if you're of a certain mindset. He said with energy work, the way it works is, and he said, try this. You'll see, test it out. You'll see what I mean. He's like, what you're saying makes a ton of sense to me because the light here is very pure. And it looks to me like your center, the consciousness of that portal was like, we need to extend to New York and have Katie facilitate this light from Mancus, the earth in Mancus, shooting out of this portal from New York City. Now, as much of a dick as this guy was, that information was very helpful to me. I went back into the records with that information, was able to totally confirm it. And then I was able to see the next phase of the thing that for months I got no information on. So I believe I met that guy just to learn that thing.
Wow.
What I now see is that the light from Mencius, all kinds of different light from the divine, but the portal of the light at the center in Mencius wants to be disseminated to the world to contribute light to the planet. And New York City is a great place to spread light to the world.
Right. It's like the broadcasting antenna.
That's it. The way they show it to me is like it comes out through the city like this, like just like a straight up and down line. And then it pours out like an umbrella, like the strands of an umbrella, or like a spray.
Like a spraying fountain that fountains out umbrella shape.
That's it. That's it. So long story, very long. That was a very purposeful meeting to meet that guy. I got a lot out of it. And I'm complete with interacting
with him.
With that.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for
your
service.
I am done with your...
And I'm complete.
And there we go. There's another example of like getting something from shittiness.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, my whole life has been getting something from shittiness.
I was just listening to the last podcast, and
really?
That was like such a theme of you're like, oh, I've suffered a lot, and that's where I've learned everything.
Yeah.
So.
I know. I wish that weren't the case, but it sure has been in my reality. So a lot of people were like, humanity's ready to choose from joy and choice. And I'm like, I'm not sure we are.
Not quite. We're getting there.
We wouldn't have these current problems. So. Your mouth is open like you're going to say.
I had the thought because of how, so we started last week with reading the records about this podcast, and we came up with a couple of cool things. One was that awesome conversation around reincarnation. We started that conversation.
Oh, and the
that was the next one.
Okay.
So it started with the one that's out currently.
Yeah.
Where we started to address that question. And then very quickly, we were like, also, Cassidy, you should know this about Katie, you should know this about your connection to the podcast. Cassie, you should know this. And Desmond, you should know this.
Right.
And then the following week, we talked a lot more about the levels of reincarnation with the sheets and the
dimensions.
And Desmond and I both immediately clocked in our heads that scene from which movie?
Episode 7.
Star Wars Episode 7. Which is the first of the final trilogy.
Okay.
Episode 8.
Oh, the second of the final trilogy. Important to get the difference because we'll get called out otherwise.
That's fair.
But the topic that was just banging in my head ever since then is what came up around Desmond. So I'm kind of bringing Desmond into this in my head, but like idea for, I think what was said to Desmond.
Yeah.
So I haven't finished listening to that episode.
Okay.
Was about knowing that what you do matters and is important.
Oh, yeah.
And accepting that.
Yeah.
I just think that's a meaty topic to dive into.
Sure. It's also like it's like what is required for Desmond is like a full healing.
Right.
So that's up to Desmond if that's a thing he wants to do. And
right.
That's up to
me.
Like we have to discuss if we want to do a full healing, which I could do. And I'm happy to at least start that.
As much as I would like to take advantage of this in-person recording, I don't know that I want to.
Okay.
I feel a little distracted.
I could see that this moment would be a difficult one.
Fair enough.
Right? Because there's like your family could come. Are they coming back?
No.
Okay.
No, they're gone.
Okay, forever. You killed them?
They're gone.
They're dead.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Take care of them. Just me and the dogs.
Did you bury them back here?
That's why the dogs are digging so much.
Okay.
That was the worst part. They were all fine. They were all fine dying, but I said I'm keeping the dogs.
Oh, wow.
We want to take them into the afterlife.
Real kick in the pants.
This got real dark real fast.
Yeah, it's fun times.
I'm just joking about your family.
So they're not coming back, but the dogs and outside and all the technology.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But in the future, we could look at it if
he's... I don't want to voluntell you about what we should do.
I really want to do it. Like you're in the right direction that I'm excited to do that whenever it seems appropriate for my shit to hijack the podcast.
I mean, fuck, all of our shit is the life.
Also, your shit represents a huge amount of people that also have shit that also is similar.
No, that's the real thing, is that we have to remember whoever listens that has anything similar is going to get the healing.
Yeah.
So
that's good. That makes me feel... much better.
100%. Yeah, because I've struggled with this too about like, oh, I get time on the, you know, like I get healing on the podcast. That's unfair somehow. Like,
right.
Some weirdly unfair, but I have to hold the whole point of the conversations we have and the healings we do.
Yep.
It's actually not about us. It is.
It's about everyone who listens.
It's about everyone else as well.
That's right. I mean, and everyone who has anything that resonates, I mean, energetically.
I just want to say, while we're fixing shit, setting my phone next to my interface is what was fucking with my sound. That's what was, and every time I got up to check it, I would put my phone right next to it.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Wow, what a thing.
Also useful information for anybody who's experiencing buzzes,
tech problems.
Get your phone away from the stuff.
We have to remember that how energy healing works, it's just because you're listening on a podcast doesn't matter. You're going to get the energetic transmission of whatever stuff you, if I'm doing a healing for Cassidy, say, and there's light coming through, light is not bound by time and space the way our minds are. So if you're driving in your car right now, person listening to this podcast, and I do a healing for Cassidy, and you have any part of you that has a similar issue, if you allow yourself to, you will receive the energy healing of that same thing in you that Cassidy is getting treated. And similarly, when we do the Desmond thing, if we ever do that, that's true for all humans. So
I have a technical slash healing question.
Yes.
Do I ruin any of the transmission by editing heavily? By editing the... Now, I edit your readings as little as possible, but sometimes I have to edit out the breathing, especially if I have to use the Zoom recording, because it comes to the Zoom recording really bad, really poorly. So I cut that out and... you know, sometimes we'll have a technical issue and I'll have to cut it
during the healing.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And should I just be leaving those intact wheezy inhales or not?
Is there a way to dim the volume on the breathing without cutting it?
Yes.
I think we should do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So from now on, from the prayer
to
the closing,
yeah,
real time.
I think so.
I like it.
Okay.
Sorry to all those people out there who got strobe light healings because of my editing.
Strobe light. No, that's such a good question. We should have talked. I should have thought to think of that before, but I didn't. It's all good. Now we know.
Yeah.
We live, we learn. Yeah.
I'm not surprised to hear that, but it makes sense. But I also, my gut when he asked that question, not being you, the person who actually is the expert,
well,
I was like, no, that should be fine.
Like, I
that seems like, because it's all kind of whole
in terms
in and
of
itself.
Content, the content is fine.
Right.
But energetically, let's say you're at home and you're meditating, listening to this, and I'm transmitting light over here, somewhere else in the world. Anyway, I think that because the light continues, it is fine, but I would love for it to be really congruent for anyone who's taking the opportunity to sit down and receive the energy. You don't want it to be like suddenly we're in another space and time.
Yeah.
Because humans on Earth do experience time linearly.
Right. That's the other thing I was wondering. Because like since it's asynchronous anyway, we're kind of doing it out of time.
Yeah.
Like when you quote, did the transmission, meaning like in the time. I don't mean, quote, you did a transmission.
No,
I mean like when, you know, from 12 to 1 p.m. on Tuesday, the actual words were spoken that, you know, framed the transmission. But then Chris, who we hope doesn't die, is listening to it like 2 weeks later.
Right.
But the light then is like
But I hear what you're saying, but here's the argument I would make. In the same way that, you know, when my Wi-Fi goes out and you guys are like, well, we didn't hear anything you just said. And then I'm like, what? And I get kind of pulled out of it.
Uh-huh.
And it takes me a second to go back into that space and I could do it. But it's all that time when I was, I'm not transmitting.
Right.
I'm not
broken light
there.
a little bit.
So then I just find my way back in and then we keep going. But there is a break in that. So similarly, or if I have to get up to for the fucking cat or if I pee or something, it stops it.
What if you pee on the cat? That's a whole.
From now on, I'm going to be doing our prayers from the toilet, just in case.
With a cat in my hand, under my pee hole.
Another thing, sorry to keep on bringing up technical things, but you just brought up another thing. You are an editor's dream.
Okay.
Whether we're in the records or out of the records, you have an amazing ability to pick up exactly where you left off.
Oh, thanks.
Like most people, I got to find a weird place to edit it and like, okay, they're going to say that twice, but that's fine.
Okay.
Like you're like, no matter how much space it is, you know, 5 minutes to go to the bathroom and take care of the dog. Like, it's like when I edit it, it's like period, next sentence.
Oh, I love that. You know what's thank you for that acknowledgement. It's because I think like a producer, I was telling both of you. Okay. This is a fun thing to talk about. I do think like a producer with everything. I mean, as an actor, I was always like director's brain is on and I'm acting and I know how we could sell these tickets. Like I have, like, it's always like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm aware that you're going to have to edit it while I'm peeing. So I'm already like, cool. We left off there. We're coming right. You know, I'm trying. So that's good. I'm glad that it's working.
You're nailing it.
But, oh yeah, it came up earlier today when I was leaving you guys a voice memo about some potential things
that are going to happen.
We'll see what happens. But I have a friend from college who has a streaming something and we'll see if maybe the show wants to be there. Yeah. Anyway. So all of that is to say the portal of light that is called the Divine Light Healing Center is doing wacky shit across the world, which is part of why I'm going to New York next week. I'm going to literally stand in Harlem and be like, is this where I'm going
to
like.
I have this image of you just like walking to a different corner and being like, yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
I imagine you with a realtor walking into a place going, nope. You're like, you haven't even seen the play.
I'm reading the energy. You don't understand.
And she's a really tiny lady, and she goes, this house is clean.
No. I'll be in Brooklyn in your partner's place being like, in the records going, where do I go tomorrow? And then we get on a train, and we're going to have an episode from there, I'm sure.
Right.
And
that
I'll
is
be able
an
to,
exciting conversation to be had.
I'll be able to say, like, I went to the spot. Because my question that I don't have an answer to is, do they want me to open a second center in Harlem or like in New York somewhere where literally the light can come through the building of the center? Or is it more about just intentionally moving that energy
right
through that portal?
Like
that
they showed
exists
you the hose because they're like, that's the direction we want you to be shooting this stuff.
Right.
It's already, the fountain's already installed.
Right.
You just,
right,
we needed someone to open the valve.
Right. Do I build a building around the fountain or do I just go hang out there?
Right.
Or do I just know that it's doing already what it needs to be done? And if I could get that answer, I would have already gotten it, but I can't yet. So I think what that's about is I need to explore and be there and see what happens. Meanwhile, my dog is so much smaller than these dogs. It's very adorable. They're having a good time. Oh my God. I just got a video from my healing center of the artists who hung their art. They hung it today because the opening event is Sunday or Saturday, whatever day it is. And they're sending me the pictures of the art they hung.
That's awesome.
It looks really good.
Oh, I miss your face. It's so good to see
it's
your
good
unadulterated
to see
face.
I know, crazy, right? So since we're here, we can.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about today?
I mean, we've been talking a lot. You mean in the records?
Yeah, specifically.
Did we leave anything unfinished last time?
We could follow up on the thing you started talking to me about, which I thought was interesting, but it felt pretty complete.
No, yours was complete.
Yeah, mine was just like, love what you love when you love it. Mm. Share that. Mm. People love it. And then shut the fuck up the rest of the time.
Don't push.
Don't push.
But they gave you some technical stuff, too, about how to loosen internally. And
did they? I have to go back and listen. Then.
You should listen.
But Rami actually contacted me afterwards and was just like, after listening to that, getting a lot of good feedback on that episode. People really have enjoyed it. So
me
really
too.
Cool.
That's so great.
And Rami particularly was like, I loved, and this sounds like an insult, but it's not.
No.
Like, I loved how they just told you, shut up.
Shut your face.
Just don't talk. Or it was don't talk.
Yeah, right.
And other don't times, speak. Just don't talk. And I was like, oh yeah. Because I think I have it backwards.
Okay. What do you mean?
I have been doing it backwards.
Okay.
I've done a lot of don't talking in my life of recent because of just being awareness of my own, taking up all the air, all the space, guilt, all that shit. So I don't talk when I should.
Oh.
And then when I feel like something needs to be spoken about, I push for it.
Okay.
Instead of the opposite,
which would be
speak from the heart, when the heart wants to be spoken from.
I see.
And then, but when not, don't.
Okay. I hear that.
And I love it.
Ah.
Love it.
That's great. How cool. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if we have questions. It's been a while since we've not had a guest a lot of weeks in a row now.
Yeah.
So we're like, I don't know. What do we ask
about? What should we talk about?
I mean, I certainly would like to ask for myself about this trip upcoming, if there's anything I need to be aware of, about what the next steps are at the Divine Light Healing Center. Like, what's up next in my reality? Because I think I know, but I'd like to know more. And that would certainly be on the topic of what we were just discussing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my move, my whole traveling all over the place, like, is there going to be a landing point? I'd already got a yes on that. When is that happening? Like, you know what I mean? All of that. Do any of us have any questions about, like, COVID or life or anything like that? So that's a no. Okay.
I don't think I do right now. I'm feeling pretty clear right this second about where things are at with me.
Okay.
I don't think I...
Yeah, I was just so excited just knowing we were going to be here. Like, normally going in, I'm like, well, if it comes up, what I want to talk about, and I didn't go there this time. Because I was like, we're going to be here.
We're going to be hanging out. Okay. All right. I'm just going to open and see what...
I do want to see my dogs react to the records, though.
Oh.
I don't care what we talk about. I just really want to do a prayer to see.
All right. We'll get them chill.
Squeezle reacts so clearly.
Yeah, she do. She's a healer dog. Wow. You hear those birdies? So happy.
This is fucking magic.
It is magic back here. I mean, we have a little traffic noise. That's so minimal.
I just feel happy. I'm just going to take a moment and just stare at the faces of people I love.
Yay. With birdies.
That's something that's come up lately. Just that idea. This is so simple, but I don't know. I don't even know if it's something to talk about. But like recently I have a weekly like game night with a particular group of friends. And for some reason I was dreading it. I was just like cranky and just like, what's the energy I have to put out to like, whatever, we're going to interact. I'm going to stress out about this stupid video game or whatever. And then somebody I was talking to just said, you should do it. The way they said it, I was like, oh, right. I really love those guys. And it just like dropped in.
Mm.
And I was like, all the like, I don't wanna, that just all went away.
Mm.
And then I had the best time with them that night. Mm. But just like every once in a while lately, I've been getting that little message of like, and I just had it and I'm tears in my eyes because I just went, oh, look,
I love
you guys.
Guys.
And it just drops into this.
Wow.
So there's something going on energy-wise around that, like getting up in the busy brain about all the blah-de-blah stuff and then dropping into the
heart,
the heart chakra. But it feels lower than that even. Like it drops much lower.
But that's the feelings.
Yeah.
Lower.
Right.
Yeah.
And it just goes blunk.
Yeah.
And then I fucking relax.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That feels like what you just described is like the healing path of a three. A three dropping in, because the three stays away from their center more than any other number.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's what I've read over and over about threes. They're not with their center, so that's how they can do a lot of stuff. They're busy and accomplished and doing stuff and out here and out here. And then if you go, but how do you feel? They go, I don't know, until they agunk, drop in.
And is there even something, I might be like, whatever. Is there something too also that like I love them as opposed to they love me? Like that's part of that path is like, you know, is obviously the three is always like love me, love me, love me.
That
but when I
like
can connect
the whole
to the like,
point.
Oh, I can trust that. I know you love me and I love you.
Or maybe in the loving of you, you feel whole. Like you love us and that the tears that come to your eyes, are you feeling love? So you don't actually need us to love you because in loving us,
it's there.
You're whole.
Wait, loving your whole. I love your whole.
Oh,
no.
Boy.
Damn it. Wow. It was beautiful. And I fucked it up again.
Everybody loves my whole.
That's what I hear. You said you're a magical, at least in your stand-up comedy, you talk about having a magical vagina.
Yeah, I call it. No, I'm a pussy wizard.
Two different languaging of the same idea, for
well,
sure.
Pussy wizard doesn't mean that the pussy itself is amazing. Like, oh, look at my beautiful
pussy.
It's how
you wield that wand.
It's what it can do.
Got it.
It is a wizard. Meaning, if you put your penis in me,
you'll be healed.
A few minutes later, you'll feel better.
Is that not just standard? That's pretty standard, but on a deeper level than just the release.
No, I meant that as a joke.
I know.
Like, all pussies do that. But
I got a fleshlight that puts a smile on my face.
Exactly. Now, what I'm saying is the pussy also, that's the joke version of pussy wizard.
Right.
Because all pussies, including fleshlights, are pussy wizards.
Yes.
But the real version is, if you put your dick in me, I'm going to know your entire family history and everywhere you carry trauma. And then I'm going to start clearing it unconsciously, even when I don't want to.
Is that?
That's real.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. As soon as I said
I knew it was possible.
Like, that's a contract. Like,
when someone plugs in, you have no choice but to.
I know what's happening. Like, yeah. I remember one time I was living in L.A. and I was telling a girlfriend, like, I'm just not sure about this one guy. I was dating this dude. And she said, well, you know, all you have to do is sleep with him, right? And I was like, oh, right. Because when I sleep with someone, I get this really clear awareness of everything they're carrying in their energy field. There's no more not knowing.
Wow. I mean, there's, I feel like there might be some ethics involved here around, like, you know, like, hey, we're getting busy. We're about to hook up for the first time. And you'd be like, you do need to know that as soon as you put your dick in me.
I need a waiver.
That I'm going to know everything about you.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like letting someone read your mind. Like,
right.
It's giving permission. Like, if you can have this, it's going to be good. We're going to have a good time. But I'm going to know a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. Because as long as I don't use it against them.
Right. It's just happening.
Because that would mean every psychic in the world would need to constantly, every minute, be like, hi, now that I'm standing next to you.
Right, I'm in line at Starbucks, and I know you're...
Yeah, yeah. So I don't think that's going to work.
All right, fair enough.
But to be fair, it's been very helpful for me in terms of, like, I'm not confused about you, sir, now that I know some stuff. Like, there's no confusion anymore. Or what it'll do is it'll make me be like, okay, well, these are the things that need dealing with. Is that something this person is A, already working on, or B, willing to work on? And you learn a lot about people with their response to that. And I don't always say, oh, when I was fucking you, I realized you hate your mom, you know, or like your third chakra is really blocked up. But I might find a way gently over time to be like, do you ever feel like you're blocked right here? And then if there's someone who goes like, yeah, totally. And I go, would you like a little help with that? Or like, feel into this,
right.
And then I could just move it. That's a person I can hang with.
Yeah.
But if there's someone who's like, no, I don't feel it. No, that's not happening. Then I'm like, oh.
Yeah, you're blocked.
So now, even if the other person isn't a cock warlock or whatever, does it ever go the other way? Do you ever have sex with someone and you're just like, oh, thank you. I needed that energy.
That, let me break this down. On one level, it's always that. Because sex is fun. Like penis, vagina, I needed that energy. Great. That's like kind of always the case in a way for me. But on the level that we're talking about with energy work, I will say current man friend is the first person I've been with where I'm like, I keep
Dick
looking
wizard.
For something.
Dick wizard.
Cock warlock.
That's way better.
It rhymes. Listen, I keep looking for something in his energy field to clear or that's problematic, there's nothing fucking there. It's so odd to me. I'm a little like,
but is he
skeptical.
Also doing, like, do you feel like his, like in the same way that you're, you've also said like there's healing involved, not just like from the act for you. Like you're also often transmitting, not just receiving when there's penis inside you.
Okay.
That you're.
I'm so glad my neighbors can hear this.
That your pussy is healing.
That I receive healing?
No, that you are transmitting healing sometimes just
here's how I would phrase it. It's like when you sleep with someone, this is all people, not just me, your hearts kind of merge to varying degrees and your nervous systems merge on the spiritual level. So if you and I bone down and you're carrying a bunch of stuff in your nervous system that's really dark, my system starts to automatically pull that out of you.
Mm.
So I wouldn't say I'm transmitting. It's more like it just starts to get pulled through my system, out of you, through me.
Gotcha.
And that's often uncomfortable for me. And people pay me for that discomfort. So when they're not paying me, with their dick is not enough money.
Right. And there's usually no crotch involved when they're paying you.
Usually. Except for that one time.
Fine. No judgment.
There was no one time. But you could also make the joke that some dick is good enough that it's like paying me.
Right.
Except the fact is, I don't think that's true. Because as a woman, you could get dick anywhere you want. There's dick everywhere. You could have it whenever you want it. It's not, if you learn how to just get dick, you can get dick. So I know how to get dick. All the dick is available. You know what I'm saying? Like, so
I do.
I don't care how good it is. If I have to heal your fucking 60 lifetimes of trauma while we're having sex, your dick's not that good.
Right.
Because you're not paying
There's
me.
Too much. I have a very similar, I actually am now like, bing, popping to realize, like, this explains a lot for me, that I have a certain level of sensitivity in sex.
I think everyone does.
That I, you know, and I was telling someone very recently about, like, I have a couple of stories of what I think of as sort of, like, sex trauma that wasn't trauma in the sense of, like, anybody did anything wrong or anything bad. But, like, as soon as I was having, like, PIV sex, yeah, as it were, it was so much no in my system.
Mm.
And, like, took a while to recover from as a result. And, like, again, I want to say it wasn't like I was being attacked or used in any way.
Yeah.
It was just in that system. I was like, oh, this system is so fried.
Injured.
And injured. And I am, and I'm enough of a cock warlock, apparently, to like really take that in. And I've often wondered about that. It's why I think of myself as like this, you know, good giving a game and like sex positive and like, you know.
What was the first thing? Good.
Good giving in game.
That's what's that?
GGG is a phrase thrown around in like sex positive places of saying like, if you are with your partner, a good framework for yourself is to be, wait, is it good? But giving and game are both like sexually, if you're willing to try things. Sure, I'm game.
Oh.
And I'm giving.
Ah.
It's like if a partner brings like, I have a certain kink I want to try with you.
And you're like, I'm game.
Right. And you can then later on be like, yeah, not my thing.
Right.
But you were good giving and game at the in the framing of things.
Okay.
But that's not even what, Point being, but I'm not as much of a slut as a lot of the people who I have in some ways been classified with.
Okay.
Or associated with.
Okay.
Because I think
Because you're sensitive.
Because I'm sensitive. I'm more sensitive than I think I knew.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying it, like putting it in the framework, you just put it like, oh, there's so much there. That just dropped a penny. That's all. Like, I really was like, oh, that's because I actually am taking in their systems.
Yeah, you are.
And it's intense. And that's why I'm more careful with
who you choose.
The peen than I.
Where it goes.
Than I.
Which hole.
Than I intellectually want to be.
Which hole the groundhog sniffs in. Sure.
Those are some weird metaphors.
So this is what Colorado does to you.
Makes you. Yeah, which hole's your groundhog sniffing?
She's good game.
I was digging out a new mine the other day.
I can't imagine a better time to ever bring this up than right now that I recently had to convince Kelly that I don't actively want to have sex with you.
With me?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Because she just, I don't know what conversation, it was appropriate for her to bring it up. It's not like she just like cornered me. Just like, you're trying to fuck Katie. Like we were having some
I love this
sex positive talk. And she just said something matter of fact of like, I wish I knew exactly how she phrased it, but she's just like, well, of course you want to have sex with Katie. And
I am shocked and stunned.
And I just want to say that in a bubble, absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you.
But because I know that you'll read my mind and like there's just, like I said, in a bubble, in a bar.
If we had no hearts, if it was just parts and no hearts.
There's no, and it was so funny because I was just like, no. And she's just like, shut up.
Wait, like, but wait a minute.
I've seen Katie.
Wait a minute. Wait. Oh my God. There's so many layers here. First of all, I am so flattered that your wife thinks I'm attractive.
Yes.
I like can't get over that. I'm honored by that. Listen, women in America, we walk around all the time feeling everything needs to be different, better, thinner, prettier. I do not walk around feeling like hot shit all day. We at all. So like another woman saying something like that, it is so touching.
Yeah.
It's so touching.
Which is such an interesting framing. And I love that that's your framing of it, because so many people would be like, oh, she's jealous, or oh, that's weird, rather than just the flattering, the direct, like, I think she's hot. And because I think she's hot, I think you think she's hot.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm like melting in the heart right now. She made my month. Oh, I love it. Number two is like, they're so solid. Dez and his wife are so solid. There's like no part of me that goes like, I don't think she's actually threatened.
Right.
She was just saying, in an abstract world, you'd bone this lady, right?
Yeah.
And so there's no threat issue.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to be weirded out by that.
But then it was just so funny because I couldn't answer right away why no. I was like, no. Like, and she's just like, shut up. And like, we were out here hanging out, and then she had to like go get a drink, and then she came out and she's like, still thinking about it, aren't you? I'm like, I am.
Well, that was your plan of the thought.
Because like, I think of her, it's like, well, of course, Katie's attractive and I would have sex with her, but I don't. And how do I explain that?
Okay, so now I want to get clear on this layer. It's because I would read your energy.
Because you would read my energy,
But what about all the pain I would pull out of your body for free?
Well, the other thing...
Now I'm trying to talk him into it.
Is that the reason I told Kelly, because I was like, well, she probably wouldn't even believe the wizard thing to that extent.
Okay.
Like, she knows this is a great time to tell you that she wanted me to thank you while you're in person for her reading.
Oh, good.
Like, that...
I hope
she's still...
Helpful.
She's
really?
Still feeding off that.
Oh, good.
And it's amazing.
Good.
You don't take anything for granted. And that someone I'm in a relationship with.
Scary.
It's because Kelly's kind of like that.
Tell me more what you mean by don't take anything for granted.
You mean
I don't miss anything?
Well, what's a good example?
Does it mean that casual sex isn't a thing, for one?
No, this has nothing to do with sex at all.
Yeah, I know.
This is just relationally, if we were to,
you know.
Have a relationship and live together and converse regularly.
Don't take anything for granted means...
Like, I liken it... Like I said, I've had a lot of time to think about this because Kelly's a little bit like this too. Like a judge. Have you ever sat on a jury? Have you ever actually seen a judge work?
Yes.
Like, they can never be like, oh, I see what you're getting at. Let's move on. Like, they need to be like, no.
Exactly. Same. What did you mean?
Yeah. Like, I don't want to assume... that you want tomatoes on your sandwich. I need you to say,
oh no,
I would like tomatoes on
my sandwich. So I'm anal and terrible is what you're saying? I'm like,
it's not, because you're very
exacting.
That's not the word.
You don't let shit slide, and that's good.
Is that what you mean?
Not just that, because it's not like, because that's different. Like, if someone's really being a pain in the ass, like, wait, what do you mean? But like, when it comes to like day to day, God, I wish I could think of a good example. I'm having such a hard time with this. I'm so sorry. Cause like, it works out amazing. Like, I love it on the podcast because like Cassidy will say something and I'll be like, oh, I see what he's getting at. And you're like, what do you mean?
Oh, like what I'm doing right now with him.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is a good, there's plenty of good reasons for it. But that was the like.
So in relationship for you.
Yeah.
If I were to always be like, wait. When you say cheddar cheese, what do you mean? Yeah. That would be
hard
for you.
Do you mean Stilton or do you mean cheddar?
Just get me a sandwich.
Okay. Because you don't want to have to get that granular about things.
Right.
Especially
when it comes to day-to-day regular things. Like I said, when you're having deep conversations and you really need to flush things out, that's different.
Right.
But and I'm projecting, and you're probably not that exacting normally.
Well, I mean, I think you're right in the sense that as soon as you get into a deep romantic relationship with someone, all the things come up. All the things come up. Yeah. So then if all the things are up, and you're saying to me, I'm tired, I'm going to bed, that could mean a lot of different shit. And I would say, like, so when you say you're tired going to bed, are you upset with me or are you good?
And a lot of trauma, which you've been through.
Right.
A lot of that comes from miscommunication, from or no communication.
Yeah.
So it makes sense
that I'm super communicative.
That you would get, the,
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not fucking doing this anymore. Like,
I'm glad we got to what you mean, because now I get it. And I do sometimes wonder if that makes me exhausting to date. I really do. Because you're right. I do need a lot of clarification on things. But the reason is because I know it actually works out better in the end. Like if even right now, remember when Cassidy said, oh, you mean sexually? And he was like, no, Desmond was, I knew that you didn't mean sexually.
Mm-hmm.
But if I hadn't stayed on it, maybe we all would have taken for granted that he meant sexually just because Cassidy said it and we're all three people having a chit chat. But I'm always like, wait, but I care about what you're actually trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
I care about you. So I want you to get the floor to say what you meant, not what someone heard.
Yeah.
Through no fault of their own. But, you know, communication is so weird. And so many mistakes happen all the time that I feel like if we're not exacting, so many mistakes happen. And then you could say, like, well, so what? That's human being. Like, calm down.
And Kelly's quick to point it out when it happens. She's like, this is why we talk about shit.
Yeah.
So you don't go
assuming
to this dominoes instead of that domino.
You don't conclude the incorrect conclusion.
Yeah.
Based on
I'm like you said, I'm just like, okay, so we'll just meet up at the other dominoes. Like, this isn't a problem.
So you're saying you're a dude and she's a woman.
Yes.
That's what it is. That's what happens.
That just reminds me that a conversation that Denise, I believe we're calling her.
Sure.
And I've been having a lot where she's been like, oh my God, you process things out loud. That is so, oh my God. Because she processes things out loud.
That's got to be so refreshing.
And nobody else does apparently in her life and in my life to a certain extent.
Well, men don't.
I guess so. Yeah. And it's more that the processing out loud isn't necessarily that, you know, I share my feelings. It's that I'm working it out.
Yeah.
I'm going
verbally.
I'm going, okay, I'm going to say a thing, but I don't want this to hurt you because I haven't completed the thought, but I have to say it out loud to get to it. So, and that allows you to depersonalize things sometimes.
100%.
If someone can process out loud and you trust where they're coming from, you're like, okay, so wait, I want you to, when I say, wait, is it sexually or the other thing or something else? I'm not judging any of these outcomes. I'm asking, I'm working it out.
For clarification.
And we're working. And it's just been really neat to like have that once then someone acknowledges that they want that and then you want that and then you're both doing that, then all those conversations aren't exhausting.
I hear that.
In fact, they're fucking like the exhaustion is the hanging on to the narrative that you're writing silently.
Yep.
That is exhausting.
That is exhausting.
You know what ruined me? 5 years ago, this was a minor difference in me and other people. Since having kids who live out loud, I'm fucking done talking about what color of socks we're going to wear or whether
so
we're going
don't
to
like
this
to process
park
out loud,
or that.
Is what you're saying?
Not that much.
That makes sense.
Not every thought of every day.
Well,
of
and
every
to be fair,
decision.
Neither you nor I, Cassidy, have kids.
Nope.
Thank goodness.
No
Christ.
Idea what that's like.
So it's exhausting. You'd be probably done with doing it.
Dunzo.
But maybe not. Who knows?
Like Kelly and I had early on with the kids, we had a minor disagreement. She was kind of egging me on because it was stupid and I got frustrated. And she's just like, I'm sorry. I thought we were just kind of messed around. And I'm like, I don't like this anymore. Like before we had kids, this was a fun way to release energy.
What was?
Now this is my fucking life.
What was a fun way to release?
Correcting minor disagreements through human behavior and just people being different.
Like what's an example? I'm not tracking you.
Well, I mean, like the kids, it's just every day. It's like, why can't I watch TV? Why can't I do this? And you have to be kind of have a minor argument or disagreement with the kid about why they... we were having a disagreement, I think about like a cribbage board.
Right.
Like she was arguing with me about how cribbage boards are made. And I was laughing at her that they're all made in divisions of five to make counting easy. And we started going back and forth and fucking with each other. And I got frustrated and shut down.
Oh, I see. Arguing itself wasn't fun anymore.
Because right.
Because you had been doing it with the kids so much.
Right.
See, we just did the thing again.
Yeah.
Cool.
Just arguing, period. There's no, yeah, it doesn't matter what it is. And like I said, you don't want to argue with the kids all the time, but it's their job to want stuff you can't give them at that moment.
Well, they push boundaries.
Yeah.
Kids do. Yeah. Now, I want to come back to what you were saying because I'm realizing something, Cassidy, with, thank you for that, Desmond. I heard all of that. I think something I'm experiencing with Newman Manfredson is I am doing a lot of that. I'm doing a lot of like, so this, and when you said that, how does that land for you? And when I said this, and how does it, and he likes it a lot because it clarifies things. And he's like, thank you for saying things. But I'm not getting that from him. He's not doing that. Except every now and again, he'll say, so when you said this, what did you mean? And I'll be like, thank you for asking. This is what I meant. And I'm so happy that he's doing it. So I just realized that could be something I could ask him about. Like, how would it be for you to process more verbally with me rather than like not tell me what's your process is? And then I don't know what is the alternative? If you're not processing verbally, you're just like finding a time on your own to do it, or
right? Or are you in couples therapy when it's been
a problem?
Someone's forcing you to do it, or something?
Or maybe that's the whole thing of the man cave. When people talk about men go into their cave and men like to have a man cave, they do say that sometimes that's how men process. They go away and they do something by themselves.
I don't. I mean, I know when I do that, it's not to process.
But you're different.
Right.
You're a verbal processor.
Right.
Which is typically female.
Right.
Typically.
Yeah.
Not to whitewash anything, but typically it's more of a feminine quality.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, what if you're a man who isn't quite as consciously aware of his own stuff, or maybe hasn't been told he's allowed to process verbally? He's got to be a man and be tough and have the feelings inside. Maybe he goes to the woodshed and cuts wood up because in that 6 hours where he's alone in the woodshed, he works through something unconsciously. Then he comes back and he's in a better mood. That's the man cave.
I have a thought on that, actually, and it's a little bit of a story, but I can do it.
Yeah.
And that is when I had the opportunity to visit the Bohemian Club, which is an old, ancient... The Bohemian Club is a club formed by all these big businessmen around the beginning of the last century. And well, it was formed by artisan poets and like big newspapermen and big magnates because they wanted to be able to hang out with the poets and artists. So the structure of it is it's all male, still all male. And it is basically big business folk, like big, huge puppeteers of the world and artists. One of the things that And so like as an artist, you get basically sponsored in to be a member. You don't have to pay the millions of dollars that it costs to be a member. And I got invited as a guest of an artist who was a member to see one of their shows and hang out for the evening. So as a result, you're sitting at a table during the dinner time with some rando big gazillionaires doing their gazillionaire thing.
Okay.
And so there's a thing over the door. I'll get to the point. It's relevant. There's a thing over the door that says, weaving spiders come not near, which is from Midsummer. But what it means to them is no business is conducted inside these walls.
Huh.
And that's one of the only rules. Men only, and no business is conducted.
Okay.
So what, like, no, you cannot give someone your business card or do transactional stuff.
Huh.
You can only relate humanly.
Okay.
And one of these guys at the table was just sort of talking to me about like, oh, welcome, welcome. And they were so welcoming to men, let's be clear. So there's everything I'm about to tell you, I still have, there's some problematizing in it, but I get what was happening. This was like their giant man cave. This is the only place that these alphas,
okay,
these big fucking
big dick,
wrapped up big dick alpha dogs,
yeah,
who are told in every part of their life, you have to be dominant, you have to win, you can have no feelings, you have to like they aren't able to do that with their wives because they aren't involved enough. So they come behind this wall,
right?
And they are suddenly able to, and knowing they don't have, they're not even allowed to represent their business.
Right.
So they have to take off the alpha dog hat.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly they can be open-hearted and like talk about shit and be emotional and be humans. This is what this guy was claiming.
Okay.
To be one of the functions of this club.
Okay.
And I was getting like open-eyed, open-heart energy from the guy and from all the guys at the table. Guys who in the outside world, I would probably fucking hate.
Huh.
Some of these guys.
Huh.
Maybe not all of them, but some of them are probably some of the people that I would be like, no, you're evil.
Huh.
But in this space, they were in their giant man cave. So there's some relevance to what you're saying, I think, in this, like being, they were granting themselves a space
right.
to process
right.
and be open and be, you know, they wouldn't have said anything about their third eye or their chakras. But,
No. But man cave level man caving.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not talking about woo-woo man caving.
Yeah. And that has always struck me as like, oh, that's so sad. It's kind of beautiful. And it's so sad that that is the
only place,
the level to which they have to go to have that openness.
I mean, to me, I feel like it's not sad because if you're that guy, you're not you. You don't have verbal capacities. You don't have safe spaces. You don't have artsy female friends.
Right.
You're not working in the theater. You're like a business guy, and you probably have no training, nothing, no frame of reference for
right.
anything else.
And
for
if
you,
someone told you to meditate, you'd be like, that would make
crazy.
Me look gay or whatever.
Or that's crazy. We just don't do that, you know? So for you, that place is the best news ever.
Right.
It's a happy-making thing. It's not sad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's only sad if you frame your life experience as good and theirs as bad. Or
which
right.
I'm too.
And theirs as wrong. Yeah. Yeah. But if theirs is just their experience and
right.
they have a place, thank God, to go.
Right.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we have to grant people what they can handle.
Yeah.
They probably couldn't handle as much of it as you do. You're trained. You were raised with therapists.
Right. I'm trained as a therapist and then in theater and then, yeah, all the...
Yeah. You have like so much permission to have a feminine side.
Yeah.
But so many men have zero permission.
Well, I just want to say as far as working through shit, like my family is gone and I am working on my house. And that is like, for me... What helps me physically to work through my mental stuff is organization, which might be a disease. You know, I don't want to use the word OCD.
You can pathologize it.
I don't want to use OCD loosely, but there's a dysfunction of my space that relates to my brain.
Uh-huh.
And when I clean up the physical clutter, it cleans up my mental clutter.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm doing this weekend.
So they're gone and you're tidying and it feels like you're in the man cave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're getting to work some emotional stuff out by physically organizing your physical reality.
Yep.
That's cool. I have a similar thing with my space. If the space is untidy, I can't do anything. So that's why my house kind of seems clean all the time. It's not. But if you come over, it'll be tidy because by 10 a.m., I've cleaned it all up. Because I can't do anything until
right.
the space is clean.
Yeah.
Do you have that?
Not as much. I swing between poles where
okay.
I'm like, I will clean, neat, and organize my room and it'll be that will be destroyed.
Yeah.
Within 24 hours. And I'll be like, what happened?
Yeah.
And then part of me is like, yeah, I like this sort of like, I can just flop on my bed, fuck those clothes.
Yeah.
And that it's mine and I get to be in that. And there's a certain joy in that. But
yeah.
then I also suddenly would be like, must clean, must put things away. I'm insane.
Yeah.
It's like, I just sort of swing back and forth between those.
Balls. I mean, I relate to that. I have that at nighttime, I notice, where like after the day is done,
just
I'm
throw
just
your
like,
shit.
I'm not cleaning this kitchen, I'm not cleaning these clothes. But, you know, 7:30 a.m. comes and I'm like, and we're tidying.
Yeah.
And I get joy out of it.
I'm
love
the opposite.
It.
I will stay up an extra 2 hours
to
wake up to the clean house.
Oh, that's nice.
Because that's what's magical to
there
me.
There you go.
Yeah.
To each His own.
I'm just going to say we probably won't be able to get in the records.
It's I'm also starving. I'm so hungry.
Ooh, what are you going to get, Katie?
I know,
you're in the
right?
Bay Area.
I know. I've already done like my Pete's coffee. I want pizza. Is there like really good
Lane Splitter?
Yeah, Lane Splitter for good, like standard, just like New York-y pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, Zachary's and other deep dish place if you want, like creamy deep dish cheese on cheese on cheese.
That's what I want. I want that.
But with Zachary's, you can't get slices.
I could get a small, though.
Yeah, and it would take a while.
Oh.
But it's so good. It's the best deep dish pizza. Don't call it Chicago because Chicago people get mad.
Can I say one more thing about, I want to just to wrap up.
Yeah, we should wrap up that.
We're going to wrap up everything. This is going way back to the beginning of our talk today about being in the Bay Area and just visiting and everything. I realized driving around a lot, how much of my dissatisfaction, this is a deep cuts, with being here. I mean, a lot of it was like all the spiritual stuff and the energetics and getting directed to go somewhere. But another part of it was like, oh, I was really unhappy with the theater scene. And because I've been away from here physically, I feel very safely pulled out of the theater scene fully. And I come back here and I'm just experiencing the Bay Area as the Bay Area without the theater scene entangled in it.
Right.
Because I give no fucks anymore. So now I'm like, what an amazing place to live, because it doesn't have that history plaguing me because I'm detached.
Yeah. I mean, and also literally the energy isn't even here for you to smell.
COVID, right?
It's just your friends aren't like, I got a show.
It's so barely a thing right now.
Right. But I mean, that's true. I'm sure that's true for all theater people.
But understanding that you are also very disentangled from it.
We
are still at least a little entangled with it, even if we're not doing that.
Like if I were to come back to the Bay, I would feel so liberated by not being obligated to be a part of that at all. Like, I'd keep my friends I'm still close with because I love them as humans, but not because they have anything the fuck to do with that shit.
Well, you'd live in Walnut Creek, so.
Yeah, make all the new rich
you
friends.
You can only work at Center Rep.
Whatever. Anyway, that was a really interesting revelation to have of, like, I love this place and this park, and it has nothing to do with I didn't get a show and I went there and was sad. Which brings me to one other thing, and then we will wrap up, which is to say that a friend of mine and I were talking, I hope this is helpful for someone listening, about, she was like, yeah, I was telling her I'm driving here from Colorado. And she said, you know, that's my main thing I miss about traveling is how, here's how she described it. I thought this was brilliant. When you live a place, you become steeped in the energy of the place and you can forget your you-ness within that place.
Mm.
But then you go to a new place and you're like, oh, I feel myself more because you're not fully steeped in that place's energy yet. So you're not being kind of consumed by it. So you can feel yourself more in a new place. Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes so much sense. I love that.
Yeah.
Even this little mini trip I'm about to take, you know, we're taking a little mini trip to Nevada City. And we were joking like, well, why are you going away? Is that about COVID? And I was like, oh no, I just want to be
away
and sort of in a weird way, like pure with our relating to each other.
Oh, I see.
You know, so that it's like, this is just us.
Oh,
and also
nice.
Like, it's nice to be in like someone else's cool house.
For sure.
that there's no one for miles, you know.
100%.
Oh, that's awesome. But like, that's huge actually. And it makes me like, It's my RV fantasy too. It's the same thing.
I think that's why I'm such a Rolling Stone and I love to travel, because every time I travel, I find myself again in a deeper way because I'm not so merged with the area I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they say, travel and you'll find yourself.
But right? But you kind of will.
You've just quantified it in a way that makes so much sense.
There it is. Do your work.
Find your way to travel, whether it be astrally or physically.
Yep.
And you
and that will be you yourself. Doing your work.
Were you asking for all of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. @allanswerspod. Thank you.
Hey, stop.
That was a Sounds Awesome production.